You're listening to The Rewind with Funza and B Tenacity.
My name is Bongani Masego and I'm chilling with the beautiful lady over here.
Hi everybody, I'm Funza. So she doesn't need anyone advertising her. She's so big.
She can do it on herself.
So the person
is doing a good job by herself.
Hey, that's pretty good.
I know about money. Obviously, that could be everyone's response. Like, they got money.
Yes. You're listening to The Rewind with Punta and B Tenacity.
Hello, everybody. I hope you're right, you're relevant, and you're excited for today's episode. My name is Funza, and I don't go alone. I roll with the one, the only, B Tenacity. Hey, Bongani, how are you doing?
Hey, Funza, how are you? You sound like you're doing amazing.
Yeah, I am good. I was falling asleep, actually, because I slept late yesterday. But I mind you, because Sissy on Sissy Live. You know, I need to be ready and give the people the energy they deserve.
What were you doing ebusuku kangaka
kanti? I got home like at 8 p.m. yesterday, and then I slept at 12 preparing for the show.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Oh, we've got a hard worker, ladies and gentlemen. Can we give her a round of applause, please?
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Your energy is like jumping off onto me and I am doing good. The show always like makes me feel good. So of course, nje umoyo uzoba uhambela phezulu plus vele utshwala sovuliwe. So vele ubumbethise bokhona.
I had Savannah Mabani.
And how great did that taste, my darling?
Ooh, it went down my throat like nothing before. Actually, that sounds dirty. Wait. But I had a headache this morning just from one Savannah.
Oh, I think it's also because you stayed up late working hard and thinking, you know?
Savannah, I mean, this is the first time I drank since lockdown. Maybe that's why.
Yeah. You know, remember in tech, like when you would be busy on a production and like you'd go out, like just one drink was enough to just like call it a two drinks max. You're just like feeling it so easily and so quickly.
So how are you doing, B?
I'm doing okay. Just this week I received some good news. So, I'm on a cloud nine type of vibe, based on that good news.
Cloud nine and feeling positive.
Yes, definitely feeling positive. And I'm also planning on launching a new podcast. You hear
that? Oh, that's nice. Are you going to tell us what it's about?
Yes.
Not yet.
No, I will tell you what it's about.
Now,
if you don't mind. Not that I'm plugging myself on my own damn show.
No, we have to plug ourselves on this platform and all the other platforms.
Yeah, so it's going to be a podcast about actors going to auditions. So you'll be hearing different actors speak about auditions that they've been through and a lesson that has come out of that audition. So it's going to be quite interesting, quite great. And yeah, I'm hoping, I did want to launch it really soon, but I'm thinking, let me just take a back seat and just control everything and make sure that when I launch, I launch. So I think July is when we'll hear the first episode of it. But
that's exciting.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. I'm very excited to get onto it. Yeah.
No, I mean, July is not far. I mean, even if you're not doing it this month, July is definitely like now. So we're excited for that. Now, so guys, Bongani has already 3 podcasts. Follow him on social media.
3?
Yes. This one, the bonnet.
Oh, the bonnet. I must actually do the bonnet. Okay, yeah.
So Bongani is a very busy, and not only does he have podcasts, he mans other people's podcasts. So he's got his own podcast business. So you've got a lot of
produced podcasts.
So wow, you've got a lot of info that you're taking in one.
I love one the telling stories.
Yeah, no, and it's nice that you're doing it through this. You know, no one else looks at it that way. I just thinking, oh, we're just talking, but you're seeing it as storytelling.
Exactly,
which is now, very brilliant.
Now we need the brands to see it as storytelling and pay us to tell these stories on a weekly basis.
Yeah, but you know what I like? Like, if once, like every time when you get good news and you're like, okay, at least I'm on the right path. So hopefully more of that happens so that it like fuels you to want to do more and work harder. That's amazing.
Yeah, no, thank you. And we thank God, you know, we thank God that we can sit here and be creative in a time like this when a lot of people are really struggling and trying to find a way to get a meal for tonight, you know?
But how are you feeling with the lockdown? Are you feeling like, okay, I'm over this? Or is it like, do you feel like now that it almost, not that it hit its 360, but we've been like in lockdown for almost 70 days, né?
Yeah.
So like, do you feel like, all the decisions you've made via during the COVID-19 lockdown, like, were decisions you wouldn't have made had you been like in the normal life doing what you were doing at a normal day-to-day basis?
That is very true. And I see that in my finances. There's a lot of like, so much money is going to food now. But now in COVID, like, food is a source of entertainment, you know, baking is a source of entertainment and shit like that. So there is that sort of, but also on the counterbalance, like, there's no money going to petrol. And I know if I wasn't in lockdown, that decision wouldn't be so, because I'd be traveling between Krugersdorp and Pretoria on a regular basis and the South. So definitely, there are those things. But, in terms of mentally, emotionally, psychologically, I don't know. Hey, I just feel like the decisions I would have made when I was outside would be the decisions, because I can't compare, because outside so many things happen. You deal with so many things on a regular basis. Whereas when you're sitting down inside indoors for a very long time, the case is not like, you don't have to make so many intense, I don't know, or maybe ako understandi. So maybe tuanse wena oi arabe, and we can hear from your answer what you are asking me.
Oh no, maybe like how I'm saying with, like, for instance, personally with me, I feel like not much of the physical going out things would have changed, because I still feel like I'm uptight. I'm even telling myself that I need to like say more, yes more often, and that's why I got that Shonda Rhimes book to say, okay, let me figure out how other people are saying yes. Like, it's something as simple as...
When did you start the book? Sorry, when did you start the book?
I got it last week. So let me say, this weekend I was reading it. And like, the beginning was a slow start for me. But I mean, I'm enjoying it, because I'm excited, because also, I mean, she's a writer. I mean, she writes, I mean, she wrote my favorite series. So on television. So I'm like, invested more because of that, if you get what I mean. So I got the book. I got it last week, and then I started reading this weekend. And then I'm like, I realize I don't say yes a lot. Like, even now I'm like, okay, imagine this is our entire life and this is what we have to go through forever. I mean, I would say yes, I enjoyed life, but then I said no to a lot of things, and not because I don't want to, or because I'm just like, oh, maybe it's too cold, or I'd rather sleep. But it's always like, I'd rather sleep.
Yeah.
Isn't anything better that I'm doing?
Yeah.
So I want to say yes to more things so I can see if there's going to be. And I also say no, also besides sleep, the anxiety of your, you know, when you're just getting anxious that, okay, I can't do this. So it's more of like the emotional and spiritual things that I'm like, okay, saying more, yes, more often. And like, now there's a lot of things that I'm working for myself to value myself, things that I took for granted. And it's just the small stuff, but I'm just saying, had I not had this time, besides family time and all that stuff, but personally for me, like, I'm working, it's like, you know, introspection every day. If you get what I mean.
Yeah, like, what, where would the growth would have been right now? Because you also, it might not be going out in terms of parties and stuff like that, but a lot of time gets wasted with you being on the road, you attending to this person, and it's mang obatla umulate ko kai kai, and things like that. And so the level of productivity, as much as you see that as daily life and everyday living, gets somewhat disturbed by all of these errands and tasks that you place in your day like that. Whereas right now, you're just like staying home, and you are able to, no one is expecting, and this is what I was enjoying about the lockdown. No one is expecting me to visit them. No one is expecting to set up a meeting. No one, and that allows you to just, exactly, that allows you to just stay at home and just really enjoy being at home and work on the things that you want to work on. Like, I can't come to your thing. I can't be there. I can't come chill, because I have actually, you know, and for me, I won't lie to you. The one big excuse was my location, where I live. So back when we were allowed to roam free wherever we want to, a lot of my friends would always want to meet in Brum, and I'm just like, yo,
no,
I'm all the way in Madrid. Like, I konaga.
Yes, that's true. And also, but now the lockdown is showing people like it, who actually people you like not long for, but want to talk to, people who check on you, people who care for you, the people you care for. It's very clear. So that now when the lockdown is done, it's not unnecessary, because sometimes it's not even because of distance. Because if it was your close circle, even if they said Cape Town, you would be there when you, if you could, you know what I mean? But then there's other people where it's like, true. It's an acquaintance, or maybe I just need to be too nice or whatever. And you're like, no, but sometimes we can just keep it professional. I don't have to see you every other Saturday, and just focus on the people who actually matter. Because now sometimes we just waste a lot of money and time on people who don't care about us, and we just need to prioritize people who genuinely like us, who want to be around us.
Yes.
And not people who, what's the word? Who put up with you, but I don't know what the other, I'm looking for another word.
Yes.
Who tolerate you. You don't want to do that. Like, you don't want to be like, I know personally, like, if I sit with people and somebody tells me, oh, well, come down, you're too loud. And I'm just like, number one, I'm not intentionally loud. My voice is very pitchy. I don't have an inside voice. But I don't want to be with someone who's telling me how I must maybe, like, behave, or, oh, no, I don't think you must do that. Or people who tolerate me, like, oh, no, she's talking too much, or she's talking too this.
Yeah,
or, you know what I mean? I don't want to be around spaces like that. I want to be around people who fully want me to be myself and celebrate that, and we celebate each other. But, you know, that's a
shame. Yeah, and it's those people that are missing you the most right now.
Yes, definitely. So, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, that's all for that TED Talk.
Thanks for coming to our Rewind TED Talk.
Yeah, it's really stunning. So we're getting into Word in the Streets.
Yeah.
What did you ask the people, Bongani, in the streets?
So in the streets.
Okay, not in the streets. Via the DMs.
What we were asking people is, when the bottle stores opened up, my darling, what was the first alcoholic drink you bought on level 3? And how exactly did it taste? I can tell you. I can tell you. I definitely. I mean, guys, if mangabi le podcast ulhezi uyilalela, you'd know by now. Ukuthi isavena is the one thing that I actually make sure.
Kind of want to say so, Vivi.
Yes, guys, you need to go watch Assisi. Is it Butelezi? Is that his surname? I don't want to butcher it.
You are not sure his surname. Yeah, but I feel like a lot of people know him. Did he not trend on his live on the day?
I'm pretty sure he did. You need to go check out his video of him buying alcohol. Punta, like, would you not get sick consuming all that alcohol in one sitting?
No. Already watching
from
it, I was
wine
just like,
to cider to straights.
I'd have a headache, honestly. Like, what? That looked like a lot to handle.
Yes. It really did. But like, he looked like he was enjoying himself.
Yeah,
shame. I was also enjoying watching him. I won't lie.
Too much.
So he went and he had a good time. I actually wanted us to play Sangena, Sangena. That video that was trending on the 1st of June when the peoples were lining up at Macro.
But that was so beautiful. Oh, but that was beautiful. Hey. Ah, that was beautiful.
South Africa is strange sometimes, but you gotta love it so much. Like, that song is so layered.
I was just like, you know what? I'm so happy I'm part of this country. Like, I couldn't, like, imagine myself anywhere else.
Yes, okay, yeah, that is definitely true as well. That is definitely true as well.
So you were telling us about your experience.
Yeah, so for me, I actually didn't go buy alcohol on the 1st, actually. So in the past 2 weeks, I was getting my wisdom teeth removed. So I couldn't go buy alcohol on the 1st because I knew I'd be tempted to drink it. And I had an appointment that week, so I didn't, and I just stayed home and I worked. But I think that Wednesday I went to Macro and I got myself my Savannahs and I got Usi some wine and I came home and my appointment was supposed to be on Thursday actually, and I couldn't help myself. and I had a Savannah. And then on Thursday, they called me, but I made sure it was at least 24 hours before. Like, I finished it 24 hours before the appointment.
Yeah.
So on Thursday, they called me and they're like, oh no, can we please postpone to Friday? I'm like, I do not mind. And I went. I was just like, okay, mm-hmm. I'll wait until Friday. So yeah, I really enjoyed having my Savannah. Thank you to the South African government for allowing us to be adults and be able to buy a drink to the smokers. Askisi, every dog has its day, ndoda.
Hey, not quit, Maraya, I won't lie. Oh, so long.
It's been long. Hey, and I don't know if you saw, Coconut Cal says she quit. Lesotho Tlhabi said she quit. She's just like, you know, it's been so long. I was a smoker. It's fine. You know,
really?
It's forced me to quit. Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, COVID has its good and its bad, you know?
I love it. Mm.
I think let's take a listen to what some people have to say about what their first drink was when the bottle stores finally opened on the 1st of June.
Word on the street.
Here we go again.
Hey guys, this is Justin. So last week Monday, when bottle stores opened, the first drink I bought was a box of wine. Yes, an entire box of wine. And let's just say grapes have now become my new favorite fruit.
Jordan beer was the first beverage I bought, definitely. It didn't taste funny or anything like that. It tasted normal to me because I was drinking during lockdown. I didn't buy it illegally, just my food for thought. But I did stock up beforehand, so I was drinking now and then beer here, gin there. So yeah, just taking care of myself. Yeah, so definitely that was the first thing I bought. So I would say I think I went a week without drinking alcohol. That was the longest stretch I went through during the lockdown. So yeah. Bye.
Yeah, that is too nice. Just a week.
But we lived it.
Tinabanya, we were brewing here. We were trying to brew our own alcohol and try to get something because we were that desperate.
What happened to your alcohol?
It's sitting in buckets right now. Usi's like to me yesterday, can you please do something about your brew? I'm just like, okay, geez.
Are you gonna throw it out or what?
She's giving me a look right now. She's giving me a look right now. I think I'm in trouble. Funse, you got me in trouble. I think leave it there for Word on the Street right now and go into some YouTube digest, yeah?
Yebo.
Come on!
Word on the Street.
Here we go again.
The Rewind
with Punza and B Tenacity.
On Twitter, it's at the Rewind _SA. On Instagram, it's also at the Rewind _SA. Let
focused.
Us know what you think. See la pogule your game.
On Twitter.
DM us. Gentlemen. You can send us an email on the Rewind SA at gmail.com.
You are listening to The Rewind.
Welcome back to my YouTube channel.
Okay, we are singeni sa oti oringi im.
No, sisi, aski si yasinga ngkoti wogosinje. Sometimes mundi kumeleta te back seat. So
aski si itingi bangene ngiba yenze. You know, put them on her. So you were speaking about Asisipho Burwana. Yes. I don't want to butcher his surname. How do I pronounce it?
I think it might be Buchwana or something. Yo, I namang.
Why am I thinking
sorry,
Kosa?
Sorry to all the Kosa people.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, first sip of alcohol. So, basically, Asisipho filmed himself from the morning. And he's like, okay, guys, today's the day. I've been waiting for this day, 65 days with no alcohol. I'm gonna vlog the whole experience. He's got so, like, just in general, his personality from the get-go, he got me. Like, he was just funny. He's like, oh, funny. Your daddy bole lang naturally just come as, like, come off as humor. When he was just like, this Uber driver must hurry up because otherwise I will drive myself there. I will take his car and drive myself there because today is the 1st of June and I've been to get lit, basically. And it was just that whole vibe, that whole video.
I really enjoyed it.
I'm like, I even thought like, maybe let me rewind. Maybe I'm still in the shop.
Yes, yes.
I thought like, maybe he's at the shop, like showing us what he might take.
Yes.
That was in the pantry, ne?
Yep.
Oh, well, when? Like, how much money does he have? Like,
I'm just looking at it as well. Utengi, I'm a six-packy. Utengi, I'm a whiny. Utengi, I'm a straight. I'm just like, that is quite a lot.
Straight. Like, it was all kinds. Like, everything. Like, he could easily open his own, you know, bottle store.
So, you see, this is the mukbang I think I am willing to do. Get me a couple of bottles and let's sit down and talk and I'll finish the Spanini. I'll finish the Savannah. I'll finish the Saint Celine. I will do it all in one sitting. Switch off the camera. And then maybe I'll create a Patreon account and like you can watch the aftermath of it all on my Patreon.
Now, what happened to Bongani after all the six Savannahs in one go?
I couldn't believe
but it was a really nice.
When he was sitting down so and creative. He had them lined up, I'm like, wait, is he honest? Wait. And he just one after the other.
Kept on.
Bawa.
Exactly.
Punyuga bin pete. Bottle after bottle.
I loved it. I mean, that video was creative. His personality is amazing.
He's got great personality.
We are subscribed.
Definitely.
Yeah, we subscribe now. We are like fans. So, I mean, yeah, it's really exciting to see new people in the YouTube space. Because obviously now you're locked down and there's so many more people on YouTube. Like, it's actually overwhelming for people like Bongani and I to have to watch all these people.
It is very difficult. Every time I go onto our channel, I'm like, who's this? Who's this? Did Princess subscribe to this person? A new couple?
Yes!
Like, and honestly, and then you see that these people have numbers. So there's also a sense of, am I late on this train or what? I mean, if we were trying to catch up with every South African's video or every South African's YouTube channel, I think it would mean we do not have, our job would literally to be sit down and watch YouTube all day long.
Yeah, I think so. Like, but I mean, we will try harder to like try watching more people because I also think I'm seeing such new, fresh content that I feel like we should also start talking about those people.
Yes. Figure out. Yes. I agree with you.
Yeah, okay, but also on that YouTube talk, but I'll tell you more about it.
Mm.
YouTube Digest, we still have Naledi and her gin. How do you pronounce that gin, Yahya?
I don't know. I actually...
Is it grandeur?
Grandeur, something
what
like that.
What is grandeur?
Like...
So congratulations
like,
on Naledi.
You know, life she grand, posted... like life grand, grandeur.
Life grand, it's, okay,
yes,
okay,
type
okay.
of vibe, yes.
No, I'm really excited. I'm excited to hear what she has to say about like the making or what's the process with this gin. Is she a brand ambassador? Is it her own?
Yes. I also want to know, but yeah. I mean, I haven't seen anyone on an influencer level like making a whole like,
working
with an alcohol brand to a point where they're like creating a bottle for her or she's creating. I really hope that it's something that she created herself. Like she found the people and she found like a farmer with potatoes and or whatever. Gin is made out of apples or potatoes. I forgot. Whichever one it is. But I hope like she was highly involved in the process. But even still, if a company just went up to her and said, we love your content. We love what you're doing. We're working on a new line of gin. Would you like to be the person? Eyakhona, then I can congratulate her either way. I mean, it's amazing from her sitting in her room and having a drink to then having like bottles of wines behind her from a sponsor to now a whole brand and bottle and like that is leaps and bounds. Hey, Michelle, you better watch out, babes.
Yeah, no, definitely, because now I'm just loving how. I mean, obviously, since lockdown, I've been mentioning how Kay Yams has been somebody I feel like is just rising above and beyond. And people, not that obviously it's a competition, but people who are ahead are found shaking because it's young people who are in like smaller followers, but who are doing major moves, who are working five times harder, who are getting more deals, whether they're making more money than whoever's at the top, but like, they're working and that should help. That's how the industry should be. Because in South Africa, people will be like, no, we're kumbaya. No, low key at home, you know, you want to work. You can't compete in private. People must know you're working. And you must be like, yeah, I'm going to work. You know what I mean? Not this environment there who are acting like, even if we can be together and be friends, but still feel like, friend, naga berega, and I'm going to be at the top. Everyone wants to be at the top. So, yeah, people must be found shaking.
It's what, remember that whole thing that Julius Malema was praising Samizi about, like having friends that don't want to be you, but like they just inspire you to do better.
To do better.
And I mean,
doesn't mean because when
Sorry, I just wanted to say we're not like pitting Mihlali against Toast. They are two different brands they're working for.
Completely
but
different
I mean,
brands.
In terms of making major moves, this is an underdog who's just come through and went zip up, boop, boop, boop.
Yeah, and you know what I love about like people like Naledi? Because I mean, she's just like growing crazy every day. And this lockdown, she is just working her ass off, like giving us content. Like she's working very hard. And also, I love that people like her, like, not a lot of people know her, but a lot of people know her. Soon, she's going to be in the influencer space where she gets all the PR, like, everyone, and she's going to just blow up. And just next thing, Naledi's on 100K. She works too hard, and she's going to get recognized. And you know what? Like, if you work hard, you deserve the top spot. But somebody who's doing also and making power moves is Y'all's channel.
Yes.
She's got a Y'all beauty coming out.
I mean, like... Where, what, when, how, like...
Right. So I was saying Y'all's channel, so had posted on her page, no, just posted on a story like Y'all's Beauty and with a new Instagram account. And, you know, obviously, I wanted to even say with Naledi, I love how people's brands just started. Like, maybe if you, like you and I come on and we're just taking it for light or for granted, not for granted, but like lighthearted, that, you know what, we're coming on YouTube, this is what we're doing, this is the brand of the channel. We're coming to you on celebrity news. And then next thing, you're like, oh, listen, can you do that gossip show on NBC1? Oh, can you come and do a comedy show on this? Can you, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes. So, and that's how it's going to happen for her.
Yes, that's what happened with Naledi. Remember how she used to be channel bitch and then she was just having fun. Now she's a whole brand.
Yes.
She tells us, before she tells us a story, she's like, "Can guys, this story does not encourage this. Drink responsibly, blah, 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 da, 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 da." Now she's a public figure. Not only is she just telling us a story of her wild days, but she's now taking the role of saying, I am going to be now your older sister on YouTube. I've lived this life. I'm going to give you advice.
Yeah, I love that branding. Yes, I love that branding that you're saying. Yeah.
How she twisted everything. I also loved it. So Y'all started with hair. We knew Y'all as the natural hair gal, whatever. She started off as hair, wada wada wada. Next thing Y'all's okerile moriri. Next thing Y'all's is into makeup. Then obviously she's always had banging skin, and then she always did a lot of collaborations with Portia M. Then next thing she's like, you know what, guys? Because she's no longer with Love Kings, hair brand they are high. She's alone now. Yeah, so she's alone now. She's with Y'all's channel, and I mean not with Y'all's beauty. So she explains on her channel. She does a series where most of her branding now has nothing, not nothing, but much to do with advice, like big sister advice on financial, buying, you know, getting a job, you know, like she just gives you like a motivational speaker basically. And then now she's taking us on a journey of how she created Y'all's Beauty. Her Y'all's Beauty is like also her black owned, everything South African owned.
Nice. It's not
like everything is her. She's part of she's funding herself. She has people want to fund her. But everything I know about Y'all's Beauty that's coming up is that it's for black skin. It's researched. She's involved 100% with it. So that's really exciting that our YouTubers and influencers are going to a level where like they are doing their own thing. Like it's not like, okay, I'm buying MAC or I'm buying L'Oreal. Like I'm going to have my own makeup line. I'm going to have, you know, more than just t-shirts and whatever. But you guys are just saying, okay, we are.
She's building an empire. She literally is. Hippie was by her, right?
Exactly, yes. She had a collaboration with a lady called Monica.
I actually purchased like the do-rag and everything like that. And I'm loving those products. We must actually be out here helping these black entrepreneurs get up there. Because as they get up, they will pull others up, you know?
Yeah, so I mean, I think you can take a picture and also like, just to show support. I mean, I'm really excited for like the black brands that are coming up.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think she's doing great by expanding her empire, especially while she's still got us under her fingers and gripped like this, you know?
Yeah. 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 Because, even the biggest YouTubers internationally say YouTube is not forever. So you need to use the influence you have and make something bigger, because there's always going to be someone bigger, better, and whatever. So you don't want to just be like recording videos. You want to say, okay, this is what I took from it.
Yeah, that's very true. So we're watching her make those money moves and we're making notes, and then Nathi sees obviously Landela in those footsteps, you know?
Yes, definitely. And then congratulations to Takis on her new baby girl.
Oh, that is so great,
man. Yeah, that picture looks so cute with her and the new baby. I'm like, oh, Takis' skin and her life is so amazing.
Yeah, no, she's Takis is living her best house mom, housewife life.
Wait,
you know?
See. You can be independent in work, but you're still a housewife. Ooh, sabo well. Do you know that voice over Yamihlali? People use on TikTok.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I saw Sibahle's channel. Oh, my goodness. That baby is so cute.
It's very, very cute. It really, really is cute. That baby is a very cute baby, and she is very forward. I feel like Osipa ilink every time a camera iguye.
Nah, no, I definitely love her. But I mean, obviously, I feel like, obviously, she's younger. To be not having a channel, but in a sense, how it would have more content if the mom, like, obviously, we know the mom edits and will do whatever. But if like if she's doing something with Sibahle, even if she's vlogging herself as Ntando. But like we just follow mostly the life of Sibahle, as opposed to like, I mean, that video with the mom and dad was also very cute. But I'm just saying more normal videos to kind of see the life they live together as mother and daughter. And whenever Sibahle is of age, she can take over her channel.
I don't know. It's just for me also very strange in terms of like kids having social media channels and all of that stuff before they even understand what social media is and everything. And I mean, this is a very unpopular opinion, but I mean, you could turn around and say, well, Bongani, you've got an Instagram page for bunnies who are not even ever going to understand
what social media
is and stuff. But I don't know. Like I think Instagram is cute, it's fine. Like Instagram is also somewhat of a memories portal, but I guess every social media is because you can simply go back someone's timeline or page and you can find memories from years and years ago. And YouTube is somewhat something like that, especially for people who have couple channels and family channels, and as the kids grow, they want the kids to be able to go back and look at those channels and stuff like that. And I guess maybe Dando's doing the exact same thing, but I don't know. This one was a bit cringy to me. Really? Hey,
I looked at it. I was also cringing.
It's cute and all, but I'm just like, don't know. I just am not sure about, like, the YouTube page is on the child's name, like Yakole page. And I guess it's a smart way to make your baby pay rent, without them having to work a day in their life as yet. But
that's how I looked at it because Sibahle is a very popular kid. So I think what Ntando did that was good was that she's trying to save money for Sibahle, because her job and her baby daddy's jobs are not like where you work, kudi filming, unali UI. Okay, obviously Rinali, the actors mara. Our jobs are not like something in South Africa that you'd be like, oh,
if you're not saving, like government is also not helping you, and there's not all of those things. Yeah.
Your whatever, you must save for yourself. So having this channel for her child is that taking all that money and saving it. Whenever her, the daughter makes money, save it. When she's 18, you're like, listen, baby girl, here's your money. But I would say I would have rather preferred it being her channel featuring Sibahle. Well, we follow her
they make it it's on Bisanele, what's this? Duma, the Duma, yeah, or whatever, the Duma something.
Like a reality show thing, because she's always a producer, might as well. But it's just so dodge now. I mean, I get what you mean. It really is cringe. That kid can't even speak, and maybe other kids like it, but I'm just like, oh, what?
Other kids like it. I mean, lots of the family channels that I've seen and people who start YouTube channels for families and their kids, even if the channel is named after the family and has a strong focus on the kids and how we raise our kids and this is what our kids do, it's like a family name. I think it just seems a bit strange for me to put the whole name of the channel under your child on YouTube. Instagram, I get it. It's cute. You can give them the login details when they're older. Same for YouTube as well. But there's, I don't know, there's just something about, it's, you know how it feels. Have you seen the ones where moms, like make their babies talk to them, like as though they're still in this, like sometimes the mom is pregnant and she'll start a YouTube page for, an Instagram, page for the child. And then afterwards she'll post a picture and she'll make the caption as though the baby is talking. Hi mommy, and tag herself, and be like, I'm in your tummy 3 more days till I come out. I can't wait. Like those ones are a bit like, my God, what is going on here?
When they comment and say, I love you, mama, and she typed that, and then she replies with her account and says, I love you too, my baby. I'm like, guys, just put heart emojis.
Exactly. This is like a notch underneath, that level of creepy for me. Like, it's just a notch underneath. The baby even says, hello guys, welcome to my YouTube channel. I'm just like, oh my God.
But speaking of, celebrities.
But also, wait. Can I just say, people are allowed to raise their children however they want to raise their children and expose them to whatever they want to expose them to. I'm not saying what I'm saying here is law. I'm just saying that for me, it just didn't sit too nicely for me.
Yeah, I get what you mean, 100%.
Because also, it's like Valdo and his father. His father is now going to be a presenter on some show somewhere. And I'm just like, about to get you guys.
What's happening in South Africa? Leave Valdo. I mean, that's very nice. Also, like, now Valdo's story, I don't know what the actual story is, but I'm just so happy with the father being the father figure, taking care of this, the son. I'm not really sure where the mom is, if she's, around or not, but I just love the brand.
I mean, yes, that is something that's commendable.
But I mean, we just love the brand of how he's sticking around, taking care and absolutely in love with his son. So I really love that whole branding and, you know, him influencing black men to stay with their kids. But also I wanted to speak about celebrities and their kids and, you know, whatever, because I mean, even Tollis Moore's daughter Kumo is very popular, things like that. But then yesterday Cairo was trending, and I'm thinking Cairo is being bullied a lot on social media, and she doesn't even have an understanding yet.
Really?
I mean, there's, and every other day, like, when if aka, I mean, obviously, yeah, if your father is childish, like, aka, is if he makes a worldwide mess, people are gonna be like, yo, Zintle's kids, Cairo and AKA, wada wada. I mean, like, I get it if AKA is just fucking shit up or doing whatever he's doing, but I just don't like that whatever AKA does now, every time Cairo has to be, like, she was literally trending last night. I didn't get it. And people are like saying, ooh, Cairo, old people, some people are 40, tweeting about this kid and saying all these nasty things to her. And I'm just like, oh, well, guys, this is a bit too much. No matter what AKA does, I think we need to, like, separate it and not try be. Like, you know, when you're in the hood and you didn't know who your father is and next door, and then you go home crying and you're like, how is this the news in the streets that this is my father? I've heard a lot of people say they found out
that.
A lot of things they found out in the streets. But I'm just saying, I mean, they're going out of their way to hurt a child who's not even 6 years old. That's like bullying.
And I mean, that is a serious level of bullying, and there actually should be laws against that on the internet. And it's like, Carol's not the first that we've seen it against. We've seen it with Blue Ivy as well. We've seen it with Kim's kids as well, where people are just coming after someone who can't even defend themselves and doesn't even understand the concept of internet yet, you know, or like social media and anything like that.
Yes, that is
exactly like Hebatung. Imagine if we were all punished for our parents' mistakes. Okay, generational curses do exist, but I mean, like, honestly,
for itself, but let's not, like, I mean, Cairo already growing up when she's like 14, when she's like really smart or whichever age, she's gonna have people tell her, like, yeah, your dad left your mom and did this. Already there's so much scandal she's gonna hear about how the mother was mistreated, because apparently everyone makes Zintle look so weak online, like she's weak, like she can't make decisions. Most of the decisions Zintle makes is because she wants to. It's not because she's like, guys, I took them back. Everyone, if you are strong, you're owning companies, doesn't mean you're weak for AKA if you decide to take him back. That's on her, but people like making her seem like Anna voice, and she doesn't, and the bullying is just too much. Like, I won't lie, like, For me, it's a lot.
Yeah, no, people, like, if you are an adult out there and you're attacking little kids on social media, you really need to go and look at your life and really question yourself, like, because how the fuck is this child going to respond?
Yeah.
And
even
like, if you're expecting a response for their parents,
yeah,
like,
no,
what
it's
the
very
fuck?
Sick. Please focus on your life and your jobs and stuff like that. Stop attacking Cairo and all the other kids. Like, it's not necessary. Nell's channel was hacked by some Russian people. She was very stressed. But then at the end of the day, she...
Yo, that looked very scary.
It did. I mean, that's a lot of money. That's a big channel.
So it seems like, did she explain what seemed to have happened? Because I just saw someone tweet like, yo, if that was my channel, I wouldn't start YouTube again. And when I started reading into it, it seemed like she just got hacked. But I don't know if it was out of the blue or if it was like she clicked on a link and something went wrong. It seemed like it was a Russian. She says it was a Russian bank.
Yes, it was a Russian bank. She wasn't aware of it because a subscriber's like, listen, can you see what happened to your channel? And then she's like, what? That's when she went to and go, like, handled everything. But it was because a subscriber had checked, saw that, you know what, listen, somebody took over your channel, and then she went to the back end of it, and then they had removed or put up videos on private and all of that. But for me, it was more about not...
She says it affected Ari. They hacked everything. Punta, her schoolwork, anything associated with her Google account was like, all that information was gone. And the channel was just playing this live. I went to the channel. It was this live of like an anti-conference or like a news report that's going on. And these people are serious. And the thing is, what's strange is that it has her picture on the profile, but it's got Russian writing next to the name and the Russian people everywhere. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on here? Imagine if you owned that channel, my soul would have left my body in that moment. I understand why that girl's like, hi, I wanted to start another YouTube channel. I'll just leave YouTube all at once. Imagine getting kicked out like that.
When that happened, and then I went on Twitter, some girl then started doing research on how to then further protect your channel, because now we're just like, oh, let's start channels, and some people have obviously ridiculous passwords or things that can be hacked into easily. But so there are now help online on how to protect your channel, how can you, like, to do research ahead before something like that can happen. Because imagine somebody hacking Mikhaili's channel. That is wild.
So it seemed like some guy, I don't know if she actually knew the guy on Twitter or something, he helped her get her channel back. I don't know what he did, but I think he... IT guy, give out to Bale. Barry, shoot your shot, my brother. I wonder if she paid him. She just seemed to thank him a lot on social media. But I mean, if he was shooting his shot, kudos to him. If they were friends, what a great friend. But if they did not know each other from a bar of soap and he was just a subscriber, then I hope she sent a young 500 rand his way or something.
Yeah, no, not even 500. That's like, that saved a lot of money. And no, get his girl.
Yeah, imagine how much money that channel makes. So I'm pretty, like, a good 5K would be good enough. Because it's over no money. Pele, because they can't be no 70 with school.
I think, she must have paid him, but she's got money. So, I mean, I'm glad her channel is back, though. Yo, that just seems stressful.
Yeah, that seems very stressful. And we are very glad because we do enjoy the content.
But I also
that
she took us on the journey when she went live in the midst of it. She's like, guys, I can't respond to everyone. I like drama like that. Like, yes, put us in the story. Then people who didn't even follow her or whatever are like, yo.
I didn't even notice
she
went
live. Because like, I saw, I think you DM'd me. Then I think I saw it on my timeline before. But I didn't think it was that serious. When I went on our page, I saw she's live. I'm like, what? And I, like, watched it. I'm like, damn, girl, that's intense. So, I mean, thank God that's all sorted.
Yeah, quite intense.
So I think that's it for YouTube Digest. What do you think?
Is that it?
Yeah.
I'm enjoying keeping my mouth with you so much about all of this. But okay.
Starting a new channel.
Oh?
Yes.
Oh, kudos to you. A new channel about... Oh, are you going to save that for us?
I'll save that for you guys. But I think I'm posting tomorrow, so we'll see. So once everything is done, I will do the things that need to be done.
Is this, does this have something to do with the Forgotten Closet?
No. No, oh. It's a collab. I'm doing a channel with Bonza.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I can't wait to see that. So, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
Why is it off?
No, that one is just going to be covers. I'm not interested in doing any more content there regarding anything else but that.
All right, let's leave it there for now, and then we'll get back into the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to my YouTube channel.
You're listening to The Rewind. The Rewind. With Punta and B Tenacity.
I got Natalie the other day at the feature in the morning, like I think on Monday or Tuesday.
Oh, really?
He was featuring there.
David Chulay, like the big thing was that he Chup Chups has merchants in David. Yeah. Like the Friday of everyone can say.
He's like, he's like, he's like, and he said David, and I'm a celebrity about Tani, Nama in Tan.
Just like Chup Chup, like so hostile.
Like he's taking it personal, like somebody cheered on him, like Omuchi does it hard.
I wonder what made them choose to go fetch Chup Chup, eh? Yeah, talk about a comeback.
But how? Some people can't even come back from drugs prison and then he's at the top of the food chain.
In March 2020, the World Health Organization officially classified the coronavirus COVID-19 a pandemic. In South Africa, our government responded by declaring a national state of disaster. We here at The Rewind have decided to share some tips with you to ensure that you stay protected.
Always wash your hands and use sanitizer as often as possible.
Avoid crowded places by socially distancing yourself. Leave the house only when you need to do so.
Constantly disinfect surfaces that you use on a regular basis.
If you have any symptoms, please stay at home.
Do not finish the groceries at the store.
And stay 1 meter apart from each other. If you're caring for anyone sick, make sure you have a mask and gloves to do so.
Lastly, shower twice a day.
We believe that if you stay and you keep on doing this, you will help us fight the spread of the coronavirus here in South Africa, making sure that us and your loved ones are staying safe and protected. This message was proudly brought to you by The Rewind.
You're listening to The Rewind with Funza and B Tenacity. I wanted to know if you're showering twice a day.
I will tell you, I shower twice a day when I leave the house. So I usually shower before I leave, and then when I come back, I go straight back into the shower again. But if I know I'm staying the full day in, I might not even shower once a day, you know?
Yeah. That is true. But my mom wants me to do bath, and I'm like, oh. Then I have to bath. Maybe she'll see that I'm not dressed up properly. She's like, oh, why are you looking like this? Then I go bath.
So what do you want to start with right now? Should we jump straight into this Bianca and Zozbini Tunzi issue?
Yeah, because that one's like more older news. Let's get into that on Zozbini and Bianca.
Hey, I pray Zozbini doesn't listen to this and hear you calling her Zozbindi.
I'm sorry, Zozi.
So, anyway, so I'm sure if you are South African, you know about Bianca Shumbi. Miss is a hopeful.
What did you call her name? Shumbi.
Is it Squimbi?
I'm sorry for overgeneralizing, but it has to be something. Yeah.
Can I tell you? I used to call Fun Skake. I used to call it Van Shike.
What the hell? Yeah.
Until she feels like to me, what? And I'm like, yo, let's go to the Van Shike bookstore. And she's like, Fun Skake. I'm like, oh yeah. I'm in the land of the Afrikaner. This is in first year when I got to Pretoria. I'm like, oh, there's a bookstore called Van Schaik. Let's go. Let's get school stuff there. Anyways.
Wow, that's so, a good one.
Bianca was outed for her racism, her ableism, her fat phobia, etc. all of those things, all of those isms, through her social media and Twitter a couple of weeks back. And a lot of people were busy saying that, Zozi Bini, like, she should be more like Zozi. We have Zozi, she should be more like Zozi type of vibe. And Zozi Bini was just like, oh my gosh. So she recorded a video on Instagram and I think it went up onto her IGTV and she was basically saying that, she saw all of those tweets and it made her go back in through her own Twitter profile and her own Facebook and look at certain posts that she's posted in the past and really question herself and see and ask herself whether those posts were appropriate. And I think what was very beautiful is that, she did it and she deleted what she thought wasn't appropriate anymore. And then she came and she did a video to say, you know what? If you are someone who had read those posts or those tweets in the past, I'm really sorry. We all grow. We all become better people. Those things don't reflect me now, basically, type of vibe.
Yes. I think also what made her even more nervous is that when that was happening, people were like, yeah, this Bianca girl will never amount to a character and the perfectness of Miss Universe, Zozi Bini. And then that made her even more nervous. She's like, okay, guys, people think I'm perfect. Then she even went on her social media and that's when she also got the info and she's like, okay, guys. I mean, I feel like that would scare me if people were like, you're perfect. Like, if you're perfect, or if you do anything wrong in South Africa, especially in Black Twitter, you're like, it's going to be lit.
Like, it's done for you. I think what was very beautiful in her statement, and which was very smart, is the fact that she said, I went back and I looked through all of those things to see what how I had been in the past. Mm. And then she says, whilst I saw things that I am very proud of that made me very happy, I also saw things that shouldn't have been there in the first place. I was just like, oh, very, very, very smart way to put it. Like, I saw things I was proud of. And it says, okay, the character we know right now is the character that was back then, but that character had faults. Instead of saying, that character back then is completely different to the character back now, you know?
But remember when we were talking about, when we spoke about Bianca and I was like, the difference with Bianca's response and everything is because she wasn't trained or has a team or someone who's going to tell her, listen, Tata, these angles. I'm not saying Zozi had a team, right? That whole speech for her. But I'm just saying Bianca, like, I mean, with her apologies going off, even now, like, went on one of her statuses when she's like, and you see when one door closes, 3 million doors.
Another open. 3 million doors open.
Like, I don't understand if she's sorry or she's just saying, guys, you know what, whether without you guys, I'm going to do it or something. I don't think she's sorry enough. So I don't know.
But also there's the difference in noticing what you represent and fixing yourself before going out there and being called out and not fixing those things. Do you get what I'm saying? So Zozi did a retrospective, introspective type of thing where she looked back, looked at the situation around her and looked into herself and looked back and fixed those things. Whereas Bianca was never going to look back unless we made her to. Do you get what I'm saying? If someone else was called out, I don't know if she would have looked back, but I just wonder. For me, that is the biggest difference is that Bianca was called out and Zozi, instead of being called out, she actually thought to herself, you know what? A lot of people are looking up to me. Let me actually go and fix these things. And you might even argue that maybe she's a little too late because this is something she should have done before she even entered Miss SA, like we're expecting Abu Bianca and all of these other people to have done. But I think also not waiting to be caught out. I'm glad she didn't sit there and go, yo, everyone thinks I'm an angel. Let me act like an angel and let's pray no one finds anything. I'm glad she went, oh my gosh, so many people think I'm an angel. Oh my gosh, let me go check. Let me see what I've said about people in the past. Then let me then apologize before being called out for it. You know, no one went, oh, you thought your Miss Source is perfect. Look at this. Look at what she tweeted. And then people came out with all of the, that didn't happen. She was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go fix this and get ahead of it before it gets ahead of me.
Yes, definitely. I also love that. And also you mentioned the last time that Bianca's issue was that after apologizing and deleting and apologizing, she wasn't going back and deleting those tweets. So that also made it seem like, okay, now we get your sorry, but are you going to move that thing off the internet? All that nonsense you're saying about Black people and you know, fat shaming? Are you going to remove it?
Nig.
Yeah, because
exactly.
I appreciate and I love the idea of people, like, I mean, Zozi going with the thing, Yahore. Right now, I'm Miss Universe, basically the queen, basically. And, but I still, I've got a past and I make mistakes. And that's something that's going to resonate with a lot of people, because sometimes maybe I might have responded or tweeted out of anger or said to people because maybe at the time I was insecure. So she's touching up on a lot of topics, and I wished Bianca had tried that. Like, if she was genuinely sorry, like, guys, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't know. This is how I was, like, be honest. This is the environment I was raised in. I was just so oblivious to everything. Delete everything. I don't know. Like, just start working and, you know, showing South Africa that, like, some white people can be better. But also, like, it just goes way back, because some of these things, some of these kids are taught at home.
Way back at home. Also showed me a scary video of this little girl lying to her mom about someone coming into the house and stealing a snack. And I'm assuming it's a snack her mom told her she can't have. And this little girl's like, yeah, no, this guy came in and he took the snack. And the mom's like, so you're telling me he left the TV, he left the phones, he left the laptop, and all he did, out of all the food he could have taken, he took the snack. And she's like, yes. And then she goes, it was a black man. Imagine.
No, you know what? Like, even going obviously into the Black Lives Matter conversation, these videos are really making me so upset. I won't lie. Personally, for me, yes, they are like encouraging me to want to do better, to obviously email everything that people are telling us to do to make the situation better, as opposed to just reposting and things like that. But you're like, it's making me so hateful, and anyone can quote me. Like,
it really
makes you so hateful that all these videos that are coming out separately of how white people view us and what they think of us and how they, what they take us for. Oh my goodness. Like, I get so upset at how ignorant most people are. And you're just like, wow, this is just,
I don't, and you know what, I think they don't realize is that we spend our days and our mornings getting so angry. Yes, we're going on social media and we're choosing to go on social media and you're seeing all of these things. But for them, they can see these things. And if you were excited or happy about something, you can, you still have that excitement or feeling carry on within you. For us, we watch these videos and you, your mood honestly starts to switch.
Like, just
and
to
sometimes when you wake up, we all know it. We, it's the first thing. It's the first thing we do. We go on our phones, saying, like, sometimes it's the very first thing we're seeing in the morning. And I've seen it with myself. I've seen it with Usi. Like, we become such angry people in the morning because we're watching all of these videos that just are not stopping, video after video, next after next, where you're seeing these cases, where you're hearing about these things. And especially in the US and the protests and the people being driven over, and this black man was, oh my gosh, like, it just gets so sad, and your day gets consumed with such negative emotions day in, day out. And these people, yes, you may be our friend, our white friends, and you're retweeting and you're sharing and all of that, but some of them, your day doesn't get as destroyed as ours. Your mood doesn't change as ours. You're angry for that little bit, and then, like, then things, like, things, yabuyela, then you're normal.
You guys can have a normal cry and it doesn't affect you, because all I am is just a friend to you or whatever, or someone you're sleeping with. But then, like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like even when I wanted us to talk about the conversation of white influencers who I feel like I follow just internationally and in our country don't do enough. Like, I'm not saying, like, freaking rub it. No, actually, fuck it. Like, speak to your market and let them know that you stand with these people. And if they unfollow you, it's fucking fine. Like, but you can't allow people to treat other people of another race like they're dogs. And honestly, I don't want to, like, I mean, say, like, get a, go to court for this or quote it on it. Like, but I mean, obviously a big influencer that I know in South Africa, who is Jessica. I just keep checking her stories. I mean, yes, she did post once when I checked her stories, but, like, I wasn't seeing enough of it. I wasn't seeing.
I don't think there'll ever be
enough. And some people, like, you know what, you can, and it's, her life is continuing like normal, and it's fine. Like, it's, you know, your life can continue as normal, but literally, I won't lie. Like, Jessica specifically, as someone I follow on our page and we speak of here on The Rewind, I personally don't feel like she's doing enough. I don't think she's doing anything to I mean, the blackboard thing or whatever, the Black Tuesday thing that happened is not it. You guys can just put it on your feed, and then that doesn't mean you support. Like, I mean, there's people who are like Nadia Jasta, who are, if you have the influence, Jessica has the influence. She's part of the Afrikaans, she's Afrikaans. And then, not that she's racist, but then obviously we know the history of apartheid and everything. It's a perfect platform for her to teach those kind of people, because there are people who still come from homes that are ignorant and follow her as an Afrikaans girl. So I was wondering, like, do people like that not want to post? Why are they not posting? I'm not, like, to educate people. Like, maybe I'm just mad or dramatic, but I'm just like, nah, I don't know. Like, I'm not cool with it. Like, with...
The thing that makes me sad is that we shouldn't be the ones having the conversations as Black people. Like, the problem doesn't lie with us. And I think this is what you're touching on, is that the problem lies with the white people, Afrikaans, English, or whatever. They know a lot more racist friends than we can say we know for racist friends. Sibabale, do you get what I'm saying? So the conversation needs to be happening with them on their end, on their side. And instead, you're seeing so many conversations of Black families and Black people sitting down and talking to each other and telling their kids, like, when a policeman says this, say, I will not answer, and I'll and stuff like that.
You're gonna get killed. You can't dress this way.
Whereas the people with the real problem are not sitting in their homes with their racist friends and their followers who could potentially be racist as well, and saying to them, guys, I do not condone this and I do not stand for this. And if you're gonna unfollow me, knowing that if you are unfollowing me because I've said this, then you are part of the problem.
And
you know?
The issue, I saw even a video of this guy who was doing a private Snapchat. But it's almost, you know, when you like do close friends on Instagram, Kanti, it goes on the main page. And he's like, yeah, if these niggas go around and they burn out targets, I'm going to shoot a nigga. I'm going to shoot a nigga, you know? Then it went, he was going to post it on a private thing, almost like close friends. So if Wangani and I are watching it, and they mustn't act like there isn't people who behave like that. It's a problem that you're allowing people to tolerate, to even do that. You're tolerating that behavior from people, even if you, I would rather have people not be a part of my life than be, like, even if it's my brother, that's out of hand. This guy said that and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, guys. I didn't mean for it to come. It was just like, we're at a joke at this time in, it's just really a heartbreaking.
Worst timing ever. And I think, Njengoba, as you touch on that, we should speak about this teacher at college, at Pinnacle College in Kyalami. She's a life orientation teacher. So terrible. Her name is Sonia De Fink.
Whatever.
An LO teacher. She's in hot water for reportedly threatening to reenact the actions that led to the death of George Floyd on her learners if they did not submit their assignments. Floyd was brutally killed in Minneapolis. We all know the story of George Floyd. So, she got outed for it. And now keep in mind, this happened in an online class. And she said this to them. She told pupils during an online conference on Thursday that she would put her knee on their necks and give them a reason to protest. How do you say that to students? Then she issues this apology. I don't want to read it, but I'm going to read it. She says, I'm really sorry, which we know she isn't. You know that Afrikaners often deals with fear and pain with humor. We also try to make a joke of everything and ease pain. I feel terrible about what I said. It was meant to be a joke. I'm not putting down what happened to George Floyd. I do not condone it at all. It is terrible, and I believe all lives matter. Mistake number what? 2003. It shouldn't have happened at all. You guys know me. I am, like, how are you going to say, okay, you know what? You guys know me. I am not racist. I think she misspelt the not there. I will never put anyone down. I have shed many tears about Mr. Floyd. Any person killed like that is upsetting. I really didn't mean to sound racist. The Afrikaans saying, ek gaan op jou nek let.
Do they think we don't have jokes that we make? Like, you know that video from Pretoria, from the kids from Crawford, when they're in the car and they couldn't breathe?
Yeah, I can't have.
It's like, it can't be a joke anymore. We can't even come
to and
say,
yes, you can't hashtag George Floyd and put that video and say this is, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, no, she can, like, it's just really upsetting that, I don't know. Like, I have no space for people like that. Any influencer, teachers, people like that, she needs to be fired.
Says that Afrikaans, and I agree with you, she says that Afrikaans saying, which means I'm going to lay on your neck until you do it, is actually a saying of encouragement, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I'm really sorry. I will never ever agree with anyone being killed in that situation. Please, I feel hurt about you guys thinking that I would ever condone something like that. Imagine. I sincerely apologize for using it in an inappropriate way. I am sorry. I care about all of you, and I don't want you to be angry with me. It was a silly, inappropriate joke, but I really didn't mean any harm. I am truly sorry. Please forgive me. Yeah. Guys, maybe everyone needs a PR team, ne?
Yeah, maybe everyone needs a PR team. But I just feel like everyone
needs common sense.
Sure, that's going to be a tough one.
It's much easier to get everyone a PR team than common sense.
Yeah, common sense. Like, the way people think, you're just like, this is absolutely ridiculous. But I'm excited for, like, I just hope, like, this time, like, fees must fall and all those things, we don't give up. Like, I was watching, do you know the lady from Seluma Tunzi with the dreadlocks? What is her name again?
She won Miss SA or something as well, ne? Her name's gonna come to me. Xhosa lady.
The young lady. The lady, back in the day.
Back in the day?
Yeah, not now. Like, when we were still watching Seluma Tunzi, the lady with the husky nyana.
Who's Zizopeta?
Yes, Zizopeta was.
Oh, you made me so confused when you say back in the day, like you're back in the day. But okay, right, yes. Right. Yeah?
Thousands wouldn't get it. But yeah. She mentioned something so deep for me when she, because what we're also not touching base on here is that she's like obviously crying and like, you know what? It's really emotional to be black. Like, I've never actually went into deep conversation like this because no one at home here really has social media or knows what's happening in America or even in the country. Or maybe they choose not to. But then she's like, we need to not only, we have to protest and do all these things, but like as a black person, you need to not, because sometimes I feel like maybe we want something from the white people. I'm paraphrasing. We want something from people to give us, and we have all the wisdom, the talent or whatever to try our best to do whatever we're doing. So for instance, now you're trying to build your empire with your podcasts and everything. You need to be doing that until Bongani can't do it anymore, because that's what you owe to yourself, to your ancestors or whatever. That could also be a form of protest, because even a video I watched from some girl in America is that when we try build what we want to do, white people always want to just pull all of that underneath our feet, like pull the rug. When you want to build and own a building, they will burn it down if they want it, because they don't want you to ever be on the same level. They want to have what you have. They want you to have what you want, matter they must get a piece of it. If they're not getting a piece of it, a black person can't do it on their own. Yeah. So a form of protest is that we need to fully, if it is your talent that you have to put out and become the best Bongani that you can be or whatever, that can also be a form of protest. We need to not sleep on ourselves as black people and say, okay, we're going to protest, burn that or whatever, but we also have to fully show up for ourselves every day.
Yes.
And you know how amazing we are, because we can't want anything from these people. You know what I mean? So I'm just hoping that it becomes one of those, isn't Martin Luther King, when he the protest happened for 380 something days? I think I read. Yeah, but it never stopped. Like, he died. The man was a PhD, whatnot. Like, commit to it. It mustn't be for hype.
Like, and that's what. Yeah, that's what everyone is saying right now, is that, you know what, it's a game. It's a race that is like, we're not yet done. We're not yet finished. We're only getting somewhere, just making some sort of difference, but we're not yet done. Like, some people are only waking up to the systemic racism now. Only now they're waking up to it. Simpiwe Dana has this beautiful song called Sizophumelokushini. And she says when she first came out with that song, a lot of people were against her, like, what the fuck, dude? Like, what's wrong? Elogi ishi? And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm just, she was like, you know, she wasn't saying that Elokshini, there's something wrong, but Elokshini is not where we were. It's where we were put. Like, we were all over this country and they took us from wherever we were and they decided, you guys, that corner, you guys, that corner, you guys, that corner, you guys, that corner. So, like, we need to go out there and just really take back everything and be on that level. And yeah, some people don't realize that. Some people, when you speak to them about apartheid spatial planning, they just don't get it. They don't understand why don't you leave. But why don't you just leave home earlier? Why don't you just wake up earlier and leave home? Because I have to catch three taxis. And catching a taxi is not like you get into this. Like, the minute you walk out of your yard, nai taxi, uyangena. You get off, nai taxi, uyangena. You get off, nai taxi, uyangena. It's not that simple. Like, there are walks, there are queues, there are...
They get to work earlier, leave later, get the promotion, whatever, and then you're just like still in your taxi arriving in Soweto at night.
Exactly. That's why you can leave later, because home is 20 minutes away and you're driving yourself. I can't necessarily leave later because guess what? When I get to North at 7 p.m. and it's a little dark, I could be raped and killed.
Exactly. So...
Sorry, I'm going to actually knock off at 4:30 so that at 7 I'm indoors because I have three damn taxis to catch.
What do you think about, like, you know, you and I being artists and all of us had the dream of, like, the Big Apple going to America and being...
Can I tell you, I've let go of that dream, Shem. That dream for me, I still have it, but honestly, my arts and my work will get me there. I'm not trying to get there and be... someone on a tourist visa trying to get a work visa, trying to, like, I honestly want an agent in South Africa. I'm working in South Africa and then they hook me up with an agent in America. And I mean, that still doesn't guarantee my safety. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm honestly so scared.
I used to see it as a place of, like, oh, I could live there and all of that and stuff. But I honestly now would rather see it as a place that I go to work and sometimes vacation and leave. Like, I keep watching eggs.
I mean, we're living in a country where we're black and it's so okay. Like, I mean, we still have the issues that we have. But, like, being somewhere and knowing that at any time I would not be able to go back to South Africa because I'm going to get killed. That country freaks me out. I'm just like, whoa.
It's freaking, like, no just way. For walk. And it's why I love that video that you shared. Like, just for walking, just for sitting in your house, just for being in the backyard, just for driving your car, just for going for a jog, as long as you're black and you're doing it, there's a freaking danger to that. No and ways. You could end up, at the end of the day, without your life.
No ways. Like, I'm no. so cool with that. Like, I get you. If it's work and I'm, like, going with a team of whatever, like, I'm protected. But I'm not finna go to... Like, America is the last place I want to be. Like, that place is... Oh, God. No ways. Anyway, yeah, you know what?
Yeah, no, I think also this actually wants me to jump off to this new horror movie that Netflix is producing.
Okay.
I'm actually not sure of the name of the horror. But I'll check it out. I'll try find it for us right now quickly. It's premiering on June 19 here in South Africa. And it's based, they say, based on a local folklore. So, I mean, great. Love it. But the trailer is giving a sense of they're taking, and it's what some people are raising on Twitter, is that it seems like they're taking Ubungoma and they're making it this, very horrific thing. They're taking African spiritual rituals. I literally said routines, the performer in me. African spiritual rituals, and they seem to be demonifying and making them scary through this horror movie. And you know what? I don't want to jump the gun. It's actually, I don't want to jump the gun. It's premiering in 10 days' time. I don't want to jump the gun, but the trailer's really giving me those vibes. Yes.
Yeah.
The trailer's giving me those vibes, and that is sad. If that is the case, then it's honestly, honestly, honestly scared. Sad. A white family in their house being disturbed by this black man and his spiritual things that he's doing and ini, ini, nan, nan. Like, that it perpetuates the white versus the other and the them, the otherness image of yeah. black people. And that is sad if that is the content that they're taking out in 2020. There have been many successful horror movies of just a person who is out to kill people. There have been many successful horror movies of people who are carnivorous, eating, not carnivorous, but amazimzim, people eating humans eating carnivores, cannibals. I think that's the word I'm looking for, that have been scary. And so for them to use this white versus black versus African spirituality versus a praying family, and like, it's very, they are playing with very dangerous waters.
Yeah, it's very dangerous waters. But I mean, also saw a lot of comments, people saying that it's too close to home. Like, I like scary movies if it's like American, white people, whatever they're doing, chasing each other. But like, if it's spirituality and things like that, for me, that shit freaks me out. Like, I don't, it's like that salt and what story, Bongani.
Which story?
The salt and vinegar thread you sent me on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
You know, that life changed in a minute. Like, I mean, there's a lot of things as a South African I don't take for granted. So, but for me, I'm excited for us to watch it so that we can have a review and talk about all those things that you're mentioning. Because, yeah, I mean, our television and all those things, people need to start thinking, I don't know. But the stuff,
what would have been so wrong of having, like, cannibals chasing this family, you know? And the cannibals aren't black. The cannibals aren't colored.
Yeah.
And they just pale skins and pale faces chasing after, you know, like looking like zombies or something like that. You know, like this whole thing, I don't know. And I think definitely a review is definitely what we need to do. We need to watch it and review it. The movie is called 8. It's South Africa's first horror, according to, not first horror. It's a major horror in South Africa, according to Netflix, coming out on June 19th on Netflix. So we're going to watch it. I get a point.
No, definitely watching it. I'm excited, but I won't lie. When I was watching it, I was like, the standard of these shots are fucking amazing. Like,
yes. I was like, yes.
So good. Like, I wanted to hate on it, like, already, because people were giving it hate, comments and stuff. But I was like, what? These shots, everything was amazing. I hope the movie is, like, just as amazing and not just, like, the cuts. But the shots were really amazing. Everything looked really good.
Yeah.
I want us to also comment on the acting and just, like, break it down, like, fully, properly. But it's a really, I'm excited for that one. There's something you mentioned.
Can we actually read some of the tweets that are put underneath here? At Itumeleng_B says, Itumeleng Banda says, give South African filmmakers a good budget and watch them show off. I love to see it. And Netflix responded and says, bless you. Who's this? Lockenville, the twins, the musician said, this looks great. Shloni at Miss_DP says, she didn't say anything. She tagged someone. Be confident. Oh, that's a smart one. At Be Confident, says SA is producing world-class content and we love it. And here is someone at Andiswa Butele 5 says, little white boys and girls are going to watch this and think we pray to demons and then they'll be racist for having these views. But it was Netflix who put these ideas in their heads. But I'm just an angry black man. Don't pay attention to me. And I think that is very true. The media really does control and make sure that there's a certain narrative that's pushed. That's why when KPMG was falling, all we kept seeing is the pictures of the new black CEO they hired to fix that mess. But all that corrupt mess was done by white people before her. And now they are gone and they have been fired and they've been found to be doing fraudulent activities. So KPMG then hired a black female and all the newspaper articles kept on using her picture when they spoke about the KPMG mess saga. All of the newspaper cycles and everything on social media. So let's not fool ourselves into believing that there is no agenda out there.
There's always...
Let's not fool ourselves.
Mm, oh, wow. That's nice observation then.
I was actually thinking, I think maybe this might be the perfect time to get into casting news and speak about new shows and all of those things that are coming up since we are speaking about the Netflix horror and all of that stuff.
Okay.
So first and foremost, it seems like Jaimon Hansu, if you remember him, Kimora Lee's ex-husband, he'll be starring in a brand new SA series. It's a thriller premised in Mzansi, and it's about the agreeing to, it's about South Africa agreeing to hand over its enriched uranium stockpile, but some of it ends up missing. Jaimon Hansu will play the lead, Mike Ndlovu. So it seems like the series will feature a lot of South African actors, and it is created by Capetonian Thierry, what? Thierry Kasuto. Eh, guys, I didn't really any band if I've butchered his name. But Bunta, how do you feel about this? An American actor once again coming to South Africa in a South African story, playing a South African lead, and South African actors are asked to audition for second best.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a problem. Like, it's something I also feel with Afropunk, because every year when we do it, we have this hype and obsession with somebody else having the headline. And I'm saying, like, why don't your Zomu Difas and or Tanisa Mazwai or Simple Dan headline? And then your Solange, those people come and whatever. We praise these people too much. Like we spoke on the review, like Mandla M did a freaking brilliant job. That movie gave us so much hope to that. Like, you know what? We can do it ourselves. And if there's a market here and whatever, the people will jump on. The internet is wide and like crazy. If you have a market here and you're pushing your own people. But like now with the lockdown, some people are not even getting money. People are not eating. People don't have rights. But now we take somebody who's rich to America for hype. I'm just like, guys, I mean, that's...
And the thing is that these American people, they don't decrease their budget because it's an African production. Like, if I'm an American actor and I get offer to do a role and it's not where I live, first of all, production must pay for my travel arrangements. That is already in the contract. And then B, I've got rates. So whatever my rates are, I'm going to give it. If you need to convert them to euros, you need to convert them to rands or rupees, whatever it is, you will convert them. And that is the amount I need. I'm very sure. Oh, Jaimon. My mom calls it Digimon. Oh, Jaimon didn't, lower and say, oh, is it happening in South Africa? Okay. Give them a 30% discount. I don't think that happened.
My friend.
Now, I'm sure you must remember him. He did Blood Diamond. He was in Blood Diamond, and he did a phenomenal job then. So he's been on African soil, South African soil, and he's acted here before. But I'm just very disappointed in that this is a South African produced show, and it's got a South African writer and producer and all of that. It's set in South Africa, and the lead guy, Mike Ndlovu, is going to be given to an American. Oh, well, I mean, he is of African descent. I don't think he's fully, I think he's half something African.
Yeah, but I mean, that also doesn't mean Horeo.
Can Bagupi, Biskulmang about Hamilton Dlamini, why could Hamilton not play Mike Ndlovu, you know? And let Abo Jaimon come in. Do it how Mandla ended it with lockdown, where he had to Tichina come in and play a cameo role. And she featured in the series and her storyline ended and she left. I think I like that collaboration in South Africa, especially if you're telling South African stories or creating a world that is based and set in South Africa. But then to have the lead of the damn production be an American entertainer, I think they completely missed the mark on this one. I want to watch it. I'm going to watch it, but I honestly would prefer it had I seen an Athandwa Kani or something. Yay. Maybe Athandwa might be too young for this role. But
there are people who are like more than fit for those roles.
Yes. Like do a whole search. Let us audition. Let us do a cattle call and let us audition every and any actor come through. We're casting Mike Ndlovu and do a whole competition out of it. I don't know, whatever. But like, I really would have appreciated a South African guy play the South African lead. And we said, just like Blood and Water, you know?
No, I definitely like it. We'll see. I mean, it's going to give us a lot to review it on and do it on more of a technical thing, because I know I'm inserting business meeting here, but like, CNZ acting is following. We can touch base on everything when we do our review.
So another new show that is coming. Well, it's not a new show that is a new show. It's coming back. It was first launched in 2018. Housekeepers with Thando Tabete. It is led by Thando Tabete. It's written by Portia Kumete. She also wrote Sokulu and Partners. And I forgot the other. Oh, I think she did, 4Play 6 Tip for Girls as well. She actually even starred in it. And in 2018, Housekeepers was her brainchild. And back in that cast, the very beautiful and happy belated Connie Chiume, who just turned 60. She was in the first cast as well as Zikhona Sotlaka. But now it seems like they have changed the cast, but Thando Tabete is staying as her role. Now, I really love it when series do this. I love anthology series where every season is something different, a different story. But I love this one in that the family is different, but we've still got that thread of Thando Tabete's character. And I think this might be the show that made her quit.
You know what? I got money. She's no longer in radio at all.
No, she's no longer in radio. I mean, she gave us that long explanation saying that they changed the show's lineup and everything like that. But I think she had requested some time off to go shoot, to work on her acting career. And they said no. And then afterwards she was like, okay, fine. Then next thing you know, she's being replaced without them saying anything. And the show's going to have a new person and everything like that. I don't know if it was Housekeepers or if it was a movie that she was going to be shooting, but it could very well be this. Like, all of a sudden, she's not working at 5 and now Housekeepers season 2 is back. Like, I think there's a connection there. I loved the show when I watched it at first. It was a great idea. And this time, it seems as though it's going to be a little bit more interesting. They say the new season will bring viewers a new spark, new faces and drama. A feisty new detective begins connecting the dots and realizes that all evidence points to the protagonist, Ulinda, who was played by Thando Tabete, who did an amazing job, if you ask me. To make matters worse, Linda is drawn into a sizzling romance, but when she soon discovers the full extent of her lover's macabre plans and an unbelievable hidden story, everything spirals out of control. A host of stunning familiar faces form part of Housekeeper's talented cast, who brings this gripping local story to life. The elegant Xolile Tshabalala, she was on what you call this, Blood and Water. She played Fix's mom on Blood and Water.
It's an exciting time in South Africa. There's so a lot of shows happening and a lot of employment. So
yeah,
I'm
there
excited.
Are a lot of shows happening. Yeah, so she's going to be playing a matriarch called Nolingubane. There's also going to be Losha Cooper on this, Thembiso SK Khoza, as well as Nimrod Nkosi. So I'm very excited to see this one. It's going to be coming out on the 15th of June on Mzansi Magic, 15th of June at 8 p.m.
I'm glad that, you know what, like, if something like that and you're like, you know what, I don't need this, it's fine, I'm going to go. Because it's not just 5FM, it's also with SABC when things are just done like, okay, you're told that your stock's going to change the morning, or if it's not the morning, they fired you, but you don't know. Or some people even find out on false page that, oh, this show is canceled. And you're like, oh, okay.
Okay, cool. So I think this one, I'm really interested to hear about what you think with this one. Trending SA is coming back. The social media commentary show is being resurrected, but it's not going to have its original host. So Pabi Moloi, Nina Hasty, Kuli Roberts, and Musa Mthombeni are not going to be part of the show. What do you think about this? You know, I feel like I am on like some fake TV show. Hey, are you still there?
I'm there. I'm listening. Oh. No, I don't know. Like, it's just like it's an exciting time because it's giving other people opportunities, especially what you gave me on that thing. Because I mean, what really picked up Phil's career was him being a commentator on like current affairs on Anele's show. So it's an exciting time to see what will happen in the industry.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I also can't wait to see who it will be. And I really hope that they give like someone who's relatively unknown, like some sort of a platform, like have three celebrities that we know and have someone who's got like feisty energy and who's just really great. Maybe they work on a community radio station, go somewhere.
Yeah.
on the rewind. I was actually saying to Punta when I saw the story that her and I should submit some demos of this show and submit ourselves and say, hi, could we please join the panel?
Please, we just want to, you know, have you submitted your video?
No. What, are they looking for people?
No, I'm just saying I would do it just for fun.
No, I was saying you and I must submit a video together, not individually. They should see us together and then we must be like, okay, these two are definitely on the seat. Now we're looking for two more people. Then they can get two other celebrities and then we can all just sit there and laugh and have a good time, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think like just talking and commenting on things is like things I like.
But I think what worries me the most is that what is very scary is I keep thinking to myself, when they call me for a TV show or something like that, I do not have clothes to wear. I'm gonna need to say to them, telling penny advance your salary, I mean, you're taking basha because...
costume. So wait, don't they give like costume budget?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes they really do save by just saying to them, dress yourself. And that's when you need to be smart and maybe go find a designer and say, okay, listen, I'm on a show every night. I will post a picture of what I'm wearing before the show starts. And I'll post the picture again when the show ends. Get me outfits to wear. And maybe that might help you. But sometimes, I think especially in South Africa, you can't honestly hold your breath. Do you think bana bole, bana, wait, do you think bana bale, bole, bako crazy? They had outfits for them, or do you think? I think these people just came with their own damn outfits.
They had to have money and at home to buy sneakers. I'm assuming that's a lot of money to be wearing Jordans every day. Where does the costume design? But ETV probably has more money than SABC.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't know. I really think some of these shows, they ask you, "Ogo tindo tangalos literally pachaza kone." It's as simple as that. Yeah. Like when I did, when I did my stint at TV Mall, we got there and they had asked us to bring our own things, but they did have clothes, but that was just in case what you brought wasn't up to standard. Yeah. Then they can be like, "Okay, here's a shirt." But they didn't have like, you get there and they're like, "Okay, here's your outfit, put it on and go on." Type of vibe, you know?
Yeah, and then what did you have to do? Did you pick
I was just presenting.
Pardon? I mean, like, did you pick an outfit or was your outfit fine?
No, there was a costume guy there. He was doing makeup and costume, so he was like, "Oh, okay, no, I think this shirt, what product are you doing? Okay, I think this shirt will be better, so take this shirt." My shirt wasn't up to standard, clearly.
Because I was wondering, like, it's not like you're obsessed with fashion or anything, but like, if you're put on the spot, like, okay, Bongani, we don't have a costume person, can you handle your own costume? How would you feel about that?
I would ask them for an advance.
Because I need someone to
sell. I would ask them for an advance and then I call you and I say, please come with Usi and I and let's go to the stores and let's make me look good, please.
Yeah, please.
No, and then I'll put some money aside in the budget for like a custom outfit from Neo Serati a young Denzel or something like that, you know?
No, definitely.
I think the other great news that we need to speak of in terms of casting is radio castings and people have new radio shows. Mm. One of which is Karabo Ntweng. She is on 5FM. She's going to be doing early mornings with Karabo. Uh-huh. 4 to 6 a.m. Monday to Friday. Mm-hmm. I mean, well done to her. She said over here, my new radio home. Thank you so much for the warm welcome. So excited and so overwhelmed. Shoo. So. Wow. I guess before 5, what's the other station that's not 5?
94?
947.
Yeah?
I think she was on 947 before 5.
Like doing the graveyard slot.
Yeah, well, not all the graveyard slots. I think she did the weekend slot or something like that. I know Hulisani is also on one of them. Hulisani went from Capricorn and I think now she's on 947 as well.
Yeah, 947. I need to remember.
Yes. Yeah. So Karabo's doing early mornings. I mean, kudos to her. Right now in radio, early morning slots are usually, 5 till 9. So for her to have that 1 hour to compete with major radio stations in terms like, Anele and DJ Ankle Tap on Y. And I'm not sure who does Kaya and all of those other things, but, it's at least it's not graveyard, like, 3 to 4 or 3 to 5. Like it is a good 5 to 6. So people will be catching her voice.
Yeah, she will, make it like to the slots she wants. Like, she's working hard towards that.
Yeah, no, she definitely is. Another person who's also working hard is Sizwe Dlomo. He is joining really the home of the Afropolitan.
Or is he just connected? I'm just asking.
Hey, Ndota, when you've got grown men calling you Khrutman and they twirl in for daddy, then I guess you're working really hard.
That's true. Okay, I'm just
kidding. So he's going to be joining Kaya FM on the 6th of July. So Kaya said the most fascinating thing about working with Sizwe will be our ability to explore the length and breadth of the Afropolitan's interest, knowledge, and achievements across many disciplines, including science, the arts, economics, fashion, current affairs, and more. His handle on music and passion for Africa and the diaspora is yet to be fully experienced. Sometimes ngoz kohla ukuthi ninabo comrade. our focus will be on how we continue to shift the cultural need with the view of reflection in 5 years' time on how much further we and our people have moved. I think it would be very interesting. He says over here, I'm very excited to be joining the Kaya FM family. Working under the tutelage of Greg Maloka is something that I regard as an honor and a privilege. I am looking forward to engaging with Kaya listeners as we drive the station and our country into the future. Well said, Sizwe Dlomo. His show is going to be in the afternoons. I think it's going to be
Mara, is it
3 to 6, ne?
Yeah, I didn't check.
It's a good slot. I think it's 3 to 6.
Oh, that's a good slot.
Yeah, it's a very, very good slot. And I mean, all the best for him. All the best for him. And hopefully the Kaya audiences will accept him. Pela Mzansi is very vocal nowadays. When people don't want something or someone, they just like, no, thank you.
No, not going
to
happen.
They tweet, they do whatever they need to do, and they make sure that their voices are heard in them saying, no, thank you.
No, I'm definitely with you. That is exciting. I mean, I'm happy that they put him, like, you know, when people have influence and connections and then they just want to be squeezed in. I love that Sizwe Dlomo's brand is that he doesn't like and downplaying him. He won't be in a place where he doesn't thrive or shine or be his best self. So even with that show, because I didn't know exactly what show he's doing, but then makes sense for his brand. Like, that's something I know he will keep.
And I mean, he started out in the broadcasting industry barely as one of the first people to win MTV's presenter search. He was the first person to win MTV's presenter search. So he is still in that very lane that which he occupied and mastered when he was the first one to represent Africa on MTV's platform.
Yes, definitely. Marakir Unalim influence. Newsroom Africa or whatever, is he not part of the board people?
Yeah, I think like he's part of the founders or the creators or something like that.
That's serious. Like, it's not even just about talent anymore for Caesar. Like, he's got hands and money into the industry. I mean, like, let me just keep quiet because I don't want him to come
for me. He won't come for you, Putza. When you're stating the truth, why would he come for you when you're stating the truth?
For anything. Like, your arms. That's the only person I would ever go.
Him and his groot men.
No, not them. They're like pop. They're just poor boys. Like, not even poor, like, financially, but like poor. Like, they just say, what is that? Like, what is this thing of them being fangirling for this man? Like, this guy can never be wrong. Sizwe Dlomo can never say anything wrong.
Never.
So, yeah, it's just poor. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So, I think we need to speak about Chetza Pictures. So, if you don't know, now you know that Chetza Pictures produces The River, and they had to shut down because one of their crew members tested positive for COVID-19. Patu Makwarela, who's one of the co-producers of the show, The River, said, after I received the news of the colleague testing positive, we immediately asked the cast and crew that came into contact with the member to go into self-isolation. They will soon avail themselves to health authorities for testing in line with government directives. he also went on to, the channel director of local entertainment on Mnet says, we have contacted the production team in order to assure them of our support. Our understanding is that ever since they resumed production, the production team implemented all necessary health precautions to ensure the safety of cast and crew. Now more than ever, we need to show compassion to our fellow brothers and sisters, and we would like to wish the affected member of the production team a speedy recovery. Listen, I'm honestly saying, if they are saying that only the people who came into contact with that person must go home, then I'm very worried if that is the strategy they took. I am very worried, because this thing is an exponential graph. I touch one person, you touch two people, those two people have now touched four people, those four have touched 8, 16, and so on and so forth. So for you to say, oh, only the people who came into contact with that person.
Yes, a lot of people don't come.
Exactly. But like, I mean, Ubongi might have spoken to Jack from Sound, you know, and Ubongi might not be the one who's positive, but she came into contact with the person who was, and I'm not saying I want them to lose money, but I think everyone should have been told to go home.
But also, is this like, the river is the one with the Fergusons?
No, the river is the one with Cindy Latu and, the drama with the influencer. Winning over the veteran, the that one,
so
yes.
The Fergusons don't have a foot in that one.
No, they are, remember, they are what you call this, like associate producers, in terms of they give Patu and Chedza Pictures advice, and they maybe might work together on a few episodes here and there, but usually they're just giving them guidance and advice and advising them and all of that.
Yeah, I think like if they're not careful, it's gonna, like you're saying, it's gonna spread more quicker and whatever. Then now just, you know, retaining and putting everyone like maybe 14-day quarantine. And if the people are like, if people are tested when they're back and they're tested and they're fine, then they can continue with production. But if they let the people come, everyone's gonna get sick, and then literally it's gonna be shut down for the rest of the year until everyone else is fine.
And I mean, at the beginning of this, they kept saying that corona sits long on metal surfaces. Like, that's why you shouldn't touch door handles, et cetera, et cetera. So like, a crew deals with metal all the time. So to say, Uguti, just the people who came into contact with that one person were all acting around these cameras. And yes, the actors might not be leaning on the cameras during cuts and takes and stuff like that. But like, it's all there, you know, even air conditioning comes into play when it comes to things like corona and stuff like that.
That is true. Yeah. I mean, you know, Bongani, these are things that we can't help or even advise them. We will see that what we can do regarding our own business and like learn from their mistakes and try and implement them. Because I guess it's easier to say, hey, Luna, I mean, it's general knowledge to say, let's ritime mulo omunyani, as opposed to like a freaking, when if everyone is sick and there's the virus, just, and that analogy was ridiculous, but like, doing it in the neck.
Even I was like, where is she going with this one?
But what I'm saying is, like, rather deal with it small before it like goes wild, spreads like wildfire.
Exactly. And I think telling everyone to not show up to work would have been dealing with it small. Because if you're gonna say, okay, who touched Jack? Okay, who walked next to Jack? Okay, who? So everyone, that's not gonna work. That is not gonna work. Like, you don't know how this thing moves, and you don't know who caught it just simply from walking past Jack, let alone touching Jack or speaking to Jack. But anyways, I think we can cast our eyes and direction to a different soapy, Rhythm City. It seems like some interesting things have happened for the actress Mbali Zakwe, who portrays Cindy Swa. And Eve Khasimeni, who portrays Diki on the ETV drama, which is very, 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 very interesting. So the actresses allegedly got into an argument with a complex caretaker over loud music, according to a report by Sunday World. They were charged with assault and attempt to cause grievous bodily harm. Hasmini, speaking to the publication, said that on the day of the incident, she was celebrating her birthday at her Sandridge apartment, and the caretaker at around 12 p.m. came to tell them to switch the music off as it was too loud. The actress told Sunday World that she refused to switch off the music as asked by the caretaker, as the complex rule stipulated that tenants cannot play loud music from 10 p.m. The caretaker then left the apartment and allegedly cut off the electricity supply. I then took a shambok and went to his office. Mbali followed me. When we arrived in the office, the woman who works with the caretaker started filming Mbali. That's when hell broke loose, explained Hasimeni. Mbali tried to remove the camera from her face and the fight ensued between them. That's when we started shamboking them. This sounds like a Toast with My Lady story. The caretaker punched me, grabbed the shambok from me, and started beating me with it. Hasimeni and Zakwe are currently out on bail and have laid counter charges. What in the FNFF? What is going on?
I mean,
this caretaker is wrong to switch off electricity like that. If the rules say they can play loud music until 10 p.m., then they can play loud music until 10 p.m. He can ask them to turn it down because it's too loud, but he cannot then go switch off the electricity just because he finds the music loud and he's the caretaker and he's allowed to do as he pleases. That is actually against the law. Yes, you can't just do that. Like, they can go open a case with like these tribunals and things like residential apartment tribunals or whatever stuff like that, because in all honesty, if the rules state that your music must be turned off at 10 p.m. and it was 12 p.m. and the music is loud, then she's allowed to have her music loud. If it says no loud music after 10, then if it's 12, that is a full 10 hours before 10. Why is he telling her to switch the music off?
It's a really tough one, but it is shambok or like now.
Yeah, also libona ba extra man shambok.
Like, that's a bigger mess now. Like, it's just like,
yeah, it is a bigger mess. And I mean, it's what you were saying earlier. Like, you must just buy yourself a plot of land, get yourself a damn house.
I mean, and if we can't afford it, like, I mean, I know it's not easy. Like, for black people, to afford that, iwato ati mara guys. Maybe rentang din to as the cast member, and then you can do what you wanna do wherever in the south of Joburg or Pitora North. I don't know, but I'm just like,
exactly.
That is just wild. Now look, it's a scandal and it looks like it's just messy. It's not good.
It's not good. And for the both of them, it's not good. And it comes back not looking good for the show, which comes back not looking good for the channel.
And now everyone's going to look at you like, oh, wait, now why were you doing that?
Okay, hey, let's lay on that.
Where would they get a shambok? Wow, that's wild. But hey, this is South Africa.
South Africa. This is South Africa. Huh? Was that one too much of a force?
No, it wasn't a force.
Love
it. Was just like,
love it.
Are we going there?
So speaking of This is South Africa, we must actually speak about, do you want to speak about Paul Tusi or Jacob Zuma first?
No, it's King. Okay, Jacob Zuma, let's just talk about him because I don't even understand why. No, it's just so weird, this Jacob Zuma thing.
So, Jacob Zuma's fiancé, Nkanyiso Chong, have called it quits. It seemed like this happened last year. She's 25 years old, and this year she started deleting pictures of him on her Instagram account. Mm. Now, it seemed like it started getting attention when she put up a post about Jacob Zuma being an absent father because they say they share a two-year-old son. But she later on went to say that no, he's not a deadbeat father. She just regards herself as a single mother, but she defended him saying that he does make some time for her and their son when the opportunity arises. So she was staying all the way in Balito in Durban. Now, if you know anything about Durban, you know that Balito is, it's the Bel Air Malibu of, Durban.
But wait, why is she not living with the other wives?
Because she was a fiance. But you'd also think that she should be, especially if they have a child.
Yeah,
she should be at Nkandla with all the other wives as well. You know,
yeah, I would prolong it as long as possible. I wouldn't want to go to Nkandla immediately.
So do you think that's what she did?
Yeah, imagine now you must already be like, do they work like wives or do they have helpers?
I don't know, actually. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. Mina anginaso isthembu. Angaze ngiye enkandla.
Yeah, but isthembu is for rich people.
But it seemed like the home was rented in Palito.
Mm. Hey, that's not...
So it seems like... It seems like she left last year already. So this is not anything that's really new. She'd been living with her mother in Eastern Cape ever since. The split was put under wraps. Nonkanyiso received a strong warning from the Zoomers that she must not reveal the separation to avoid media attention. Imagine. President.
Papa Ola, like, already he thinks that's media attention, that there's a split, as opposed to you're not dating that girl. I mean, I have nothing against men and stuff, but...
I hear what you're saying. Like, there was already media attention when they were dating, and that was the worst media attention. So, like, the split, what more harm can it do?
So, like, I know, Shem.
So, Queen Pearl Tusi.
Yeah?
Has come under fire on Twitter.
When did she never?
She.
Like, when? Pardon? Okay, when are people never coming for Pearl Tusi?
Yeah, that's also very true. She tweeted, "Killing African nationals that reside in South Africa is something I will never defend. Defending borders drawn by colonizers will never be something I limit myself with." And a lot of people were just like, what the fuck is she saying? Like, people are just like, no, Pearl Tusi. And they were coming forward for saying that. Someone, you know her, actress Mokgotso M, says, "This is false. People are facing different challenges in their countries. Yes, South Africa is not perfect. Far from it. But there are countries far worse than South Africa." Another person saying, "So awesome." At Lunga Shabalala says, "We are all entitled to our own views." Mm-hmm. Another person, I think Mokgotso was responding to someone who was coming for Pearl Tusi.
Okay.
Another person, Captain SA, says, "When they're killing, robbing, and terrorizing South Africans, nobody says a thing. When SA retaliates, it's self-hate, xenophobia, Afrophobia. We won't be silenced, actually. We've just started. Hashtag put South Africans first." I don't like people with mentalities like that. Then this person at Abuti West says, "South African citizens telling the South African government to enforce the law and put its citizens first. Ingenapi is xenophobia/self-hate/killings la pomar. Put South Africans first." So I think this might be in response to how the government is treating, foreign nationals now during this crisis. And people are busy saying, no, like, okay, yes, they're going through it and we're all going through it, but like, make sure there's beds for South Africans before there are beds for people who might be here illegally, which I think is a very disgusting argument. We're all humans and the entire human race is facing this, whether you are African or not African. So someone here, Jan van Riebeek, posted on Twitter, on Facebook. I think this is a fake account because the name says Jan van Riebeek, but the profile picture has Bob Marley. It says, "South African celebrities are fakes and hypocrites scrambling for gigs and status under any means possible. They are all quiet over Bill Gates, COVID-19 and its inconsistencies and lethal vaccines coming because they all wished, all they wished was to be appointed ambassadors of the fake virus. Little did they know, the people stopped Idris Elba right at the beginning. They stopped him right there. Now, a certain Floyd Chivambu from America is, George Floyd from America is killed. They come out of hiding again, hoping to be appointed ambassadors of the fake campaign against racism. We know that George Soros uses celebrity." You know what? I'm not even sure what this person's argument is. Can you please forgive me for reading this? I'm not going to pay this person any more time.
No, but you know what? I'm also thinking, like, it's obviously the conversation we've had where, as fans, we also need to check ourselves, because doesn't mean because you have the platform you have to have a say. Like, for instance,
it doesn't always mean it has to be negative. Yeah, also, be negative. You know,
I don't have to even. But if I'm using my free speech, free what? Because I remember earlier you even said someone who's like, "Yeah, your guys' arguments, you're posting trying to be woke, but your comments are not even backed with information and research and whatever." And I'm like, you know, number one, some people are not trying to be like the philanthropist. They're not trying to be research majors. They're not trying to even know exactly the dates of things and whatever. They just want to have a comment like you're doing. It's your fault for putting them on the pedestal to say Pearl Tusi should have common sense. There's a lot of people who don't have common sense, or people who don't have this. if you're putting her there and saying she must be the role model, she must be your new age, what's this, Winnie Mandela or something, like, I'm like, you guys are the ones who give them the power and the responsibility to be those things. It doesn't mean because he's Casper, he needs to say something smart or, oh, damn, because he didn't finish matric or whatever. I feel like it's us giving these people so much. Like, it's almost like what you mentioned with Mitra. Sometimes she's like, I gotta give a role model. I'm living my life and you guys have fans for days. You know what I mean? So.
Exactly. And I think also, RuPaul also once said himself that people are now reading for offense. Yes. Like, people aren't just reading to take you in or try to understand your viewpoint. They're reading to find that one word you misused.
Break down or something.
Yeah, they just reading to find something wrong. And I think the same thing is what happened with Pearl Tusi in this moment.
Definitely, 100%.
I think we can end it on some good news. Universal Music Group launches Def Jam Africa, signing Casper Nyoves and Boity and a whole lot more. Such good news, man. Def Jam Africa is a new label division to represent local talent and follow the blueprint of iconic Def Jam Recordings label. I think Def Jam, Kiabo, Grevran, Ron Simmons, and all of those people.
That's Jay-Z.
Jay-Z ke Rock Nation. Okay?
Def Jam.
But I think they get distribution by Universal. But I think Def Jam is Grevran. Ron Simmons and Russell Simmons and all of those guys. I think one of the owners recently passed away.
Wait, sorry, I was just.
Am I correct?
Recording is an American recording label focused on predominantly hip hop, whatever. Parent organization. Paul Roseberg is the CEO.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Rick Rubin, Russell Simmons, you're right.
Oh.
So, is Rick Rubin and Russell Simmons.
Okay, yes, yeah, definitely. Def Jam, yes. So they're building an Africa division. It's going to follow the iconic Def Jam recording labels. The label will initially be based in Johannesburg, South Africa, and Lagos, Nigeria, but it will identify and sign artist talent from across the entire continent. It will be supported by dedicated A&R marketing, creative, and digital teams from the Universal Music Group, teams both in Nigeria and South Africa, and get this, and will report to Sipho Dlamini, MD of Universal Music Sub-Saharan Africa and South Africa. Now, if you don't know who Sipho Dlamini is, hopefully you know his wife, Leanne Dlamini. She did that song, Deal With It, Deal With It. I'm not going to sing it on the show. But he is very big in the music industry. And he has done great stuff. Well, I mean, if you're running Universal Music's Sub-Saharan Africa division, you're the MD, then clearly you're doing some great stuff. It says here, the label launches with a flagship roster that includes some of the most influential, successful, and followed African talent, including Boity, Casper Nyoves, Larry Gaga, I think, from Nigeria, Nadia Nakai, Nasty C, Teho, Teleman, Rick Tyler, and Victor from Nigeria. Earlier this year, it was announced that South African rapper Nasty C will release his forthcoming album. Nasty C will release his forthcoming album, Zuluman, with some power in partnership with Def Jam Recordings in the US during summer 2020. Other forthcoming releases on Def Jam Africa include singles from Rick Tyler, Boity, Nasty C, Teleman featuring Alpha P, Victor, Casper Nyoves, and Tejo. Forgive me, Bonatejo, for calling Nasty C.
Yeah, I mean, that's great news. Like, I'm excited for them taking in more people. Like, it's just like, this is just like the tip of the iceberg. Like, we hope we get signed also there by the peoples.
Exactly. Nati Wasifage, man, you know?
Siyenze
ama music feature. Siba interview abantu bakhona. Listen,
no, that's proper news.
I think we're going to leave it there for the rewind. Let's take a bit of a break and let's get it back into Word on the Street.
Come on!
Word on the Street. Here we go again.
Word on the Street.
The first thing I got was a Savannah, and it
It tasted like saxophone music, if I could put it like that. Yeah, it tasted like saxophone music. Yeah, this is the job.
Hey, it's Lulu. Well, I haven't bought a drink per se, but I've been thinking about the first time I go out, and the first drink that I'm going to buy is a gin and tonic mug from Topio Chico. That thing is going to be heaven, and I cannot wait for it.
Gin and tonic seems to be quite a favorite on this show, hey?
Man, I feel like that will last longer. As opposed to what I got.
You know, actually, I agree with you. I'm thinking of, I was watching, you know, Erin, you know, I love her on YouTube, and she was doing a day in the life, and she was showing us, her chilling at her sister's place, and they were there making strawberry, margaritas or something like that. And I was just thinking to myself, you know what? Maybe I should actually do that. Maybe I should, cause I love a Long Island. Let me just buy all the ingredients for a Long Island and just always have them here.
Yeah.
And whenever I feel like a drink, instead of doing a Savannah, even if it's a Long Island and Pumi in the
middle. No, but you love Savannah. But Savannah, keep it for like, you know, that day when you're like, your work was intense. Because it always gives you that thing. It's almost like how people, when they drink Coke and they always feel good. So have your Savannah, but it mustn't be your everyday drink. But like, when you had it that day at work, you're like, well, when the only thing is a Savannah.
Yeah.
Then you have it.
Well, I think the one thing I'm thinking about is longevity right now. I think I would go through a Savannah a lot quicker than I would go through the cocktails of, because I looked at a recipe and once I was done with the recipe, it says serves for four. And the most thing it had was like 50 milliliters of each, like of the rum, 50 milliliters of the vodka and et cetera, et cetera. And it says serves for four. Mm. And it had like 500 milliliters of Coke. And I thought to myself, well, if I'm just using 50 milliliters of the vodka and 50 milliliters of the rum, and like, is all last that, like the most I need is half a liter of Coke to make this drink. And it's still, I can get four glasses out of it. I think then, I mean, why the hell not? You know? So I think I'm going to follow that strategy. Maybe, gin and tonic should be the one because it will last as well since our listeners. Yeah, seem to be talking a lot about gin and tonic. Unsa, what did you buy?
I didn't buy anything. I'm at home.
Oh, you just had a Savannah.
Just home. So yesterday when I was with Unsa, when we were done filming, we went to look for stands. Like, you know, in Amanskraal, they give out stands and stuff. So we went with her sister. Then her sister was already at the stand, like where they were going to start a business or something. So she had this Savannah for days. Oh my goodness. I had a Savannah first and it was good. And then I had a Brutal Fruits also. I think before I left, I had a Brutal Fruits bingy. Nice. But also, like, when I got home.
Asisipo, have you joined the chat? Have you joined the WhatsApp conversation?
Oh, it was so nice. Hey, like, I didn't know it's so nice. Like, Bujals is really nice. Like, I feel like it's good to have these intervals because when you drink it again, it just has a different connection. Like, it was delicious. I won't lie.
Yeah, no. I think we can definitely say that we're glad that the government has opened those doors again.
But people must also be responsible. Like, asibatala, no ways. For people to be like, also, like, because there was accidents already on the day and you're like, guys, come on.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Mm. But I think we can definitely leave it there for today. How are you feeling? I really enjoyed this episode. I really enjoyed chatting to you like this, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it was very informative. I enjoyed it. Like, I always listen to our episodes, but I like it when we, like, really delve deep and just, like, they must know that when we want to talk smack, we can. But when we must, you know, keep it close, chat about serious things, we really can get into it. I love it.
We must actually try hosting a show where we speak our mother tongue for the whole show.
That is funny, but I can do it. So wait, are you going to do Zulu or Swati?
I'm going to do Zulu. Joburg Zulu.
I'm going to speak Spitori. The only country that matters. I'll speak that.
Yeah. All right. Well, to all our listeners, guys, thank you so much for sticking with us and coming back time and time again. Mm-hmm. Those of you who interact with us on social media, thank you very much. It's at @TheRewindSA on Twitter and on Facebook, and at TheRewindSA@gmail.com if you want to send us an email. But what's really, really important is that wherever you're listening to the podcast, please like or rate or whatever it is that the app allows you to do. If it's 5 stars, give us 5 stars. We need a lot more South Africans to hear this and just be able to relax and just enjoy talking about celebrities in a not so malicious way, and also getting some great information on how you can make your YouTube channel better. We're speaking about PR strategies. You know, come on.
YouTube channels grow. Like, I mean, there's a lot of growth here. Like, not only do we like always critique, but there is a lot of pointers that help with the growth.
Yeah, and we give applause where applause is due as well. So thank you. An applause goes out to you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to us. And actually, if you are one of those people who are always sharing and liking and rating and stuff like that,
thank you so much.
If you are just coming onto the party, be sure to rate the podcast underneath where you've listened. And also listen to other episodes. Like, it's always a party. It's always a jam on this show. I think I've rambled on too long enough. You can tell that I miss doing this. Okay, Imzansi. Putsa has said it. We need to close the show. Thank you very much. We'll catch you on the next one. Bye.
YouTube Digest. The Rewind. Ujiwa King.
Am I saying this right? Ujiwa King.
Press forward.
Word on the street. Yeah.